Well, you know, this is Father's Day, and so thank God for all you, all fathers. Wave your hand if you're a father in here. Wave your hand. God bless you so much. Amen. And we appreciate you, every single one of you. And praise the Lord. Now, you know, there's not one perfect father, is there, except for God. And so, hey, you know, the pastor mentioned that scripture this morning. You know, or I believe to train up a child in the way he should go. And, in talking to people sometimes, you know, you get talking, and I've talked to fathers who are distraught. You know, well, I didn't know these things. I said, well, that's where God comes in. God will make up the difference. You just stay believing God, amen? You stay in faith and just surround your children. As Brother Hagin, you stay with faith and love and let God make up the difference. Where you were short, he'll make up the difference on your behalf. How many of you know we've got a good God? And he loves us. Well, I want to talk about him tonight. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And we'll look at some things here. 2 Corinthians chapter 6. And how many of you came trusting God tonight? You trust God with me tonight to get out what the Holy Spirit has here? 2 Corinthians chapter 6. We're going to begin in verse 14. And start reading all this to get somewhere, to get to the end of the chapter, but we want to read all this because it is a blessing. He says, "Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship has righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion has light with darkness? And what concord has Christ with Belial? And what part has he that believes with an infidel? And what agreement has the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God. As God has said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord. Touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, says the Lord Almighty." Now, all of us in here claim a different natural, if you will, earthly heritage. Every one of us in here come from, you know, unless you, you know, your brothers or sisters are here with you or that type of thing, but we have a different natural heritage. But there is only two spiritual heritages that you can have. That is those whose father is God, and as Jesus said, you are of your father the devil. Well, we all were that at one time, but thank God when you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, your father becomes God, God Almighty. And so two families in the earth. It's interesting as you read this here, you notice that there is a distinction drawn by God, by his word, of the characteristics of those who are in his family and those who are not. Now, he didn't say, don't reach out to these folks. He didn't say, don't go preach them the gospel. He didn't say you have a right to be mean and nasty to them because they're not believers. You know, all those things. He didn't say any of that stuff, did he? He just said, notice this. He said, don't be unequally yoked together with unbelievers. So the believer and the unbeliever are contrasted here. And as we read this, you know how many times I heard Brother Hagin say that. So the believer here in verse 14 is righteousness. The unbeliever's unrighteousness. The believer is light. The unbeliever's darkness. The believer is in agreement and concord with Christ, the unbeliever with Belial. The believer, of course, he that believes, he that not is an infidel. Now, so, you know, sometimes in today's society, it seems like we don't want to call an unbeliever an infidel. We're almost hesitant to even call him a sinner. But I tell you what, you're going to get a whole lot further using Bible terminology than you are trying to be so-called politically correct and not offend anyone. Can I tell you this? Someone who's headed to hell as their eternal home needs offended. In the sense that they need offended by the love of God and they need offended on from the path they're going. All right, I'm so glad someone offended me and told me I was going to hell if I didn't accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. Thank God 36 years ago, June 30th, I got offended. But I got over it because I got saved. Hallelujah. You understand what I'm saying here? And he says, we are the temple of God, and they're idolatrous. We are the temple of the living God. And he talks about there in verse 17, living a separated life. A separated life. Now, again, we don't hear a whole lot about these things anymore. I'm so glad here at Rhema Bible Church we still preach on holiness and sanctification and living right. Jesus, listen to me, Jesus did not go to the cross. God did not send his only begotten Son into the world that whosoever believes in him could go on and live like a sinner. The Bible doesn't say that, does it? No, he sent him so that we could be delivered from sin. Not just our past sin, but living in present sin and the addiction to sin. Praise God. And so his grace is so powerful that it will enable us as we yield to it. How do you yield to the grace of God and live free from sin? Just do what the Bible says. Just do what the Bible says. When someone, talks bad about you, what do? You don't answer back. You just commit yourself to God. In fact, well, hallelujah. Since you brought it up, we better turn over there. 1 Peter chapter 2. Kariam, you just have to hang on with me up there, brother. 1 Peter chapter 2. Oh, there's such good things, How many of you have experienced persecution or suffering because of your stance for Christ? Let me see your hand. All right. What's wrong with the rest of you? Those who live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. Let me ask again. You want to raise your hand this time? How many? I'm joking. But this book of 1 Peter is really written to us as Christians about how to handle such things. He talks about in this chapter of chapter 2, getting over here into living free from our lust and having our lifestyle honorable, verse 12. I want to get down here and verse 18, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 18. Now, servants, let's call that employees. Employees, be subject to your employers with all reverence, fear, it says, King James, but godly reverence, not only to the good and the gentle, but also to the froward. You say, well, what in the world is a froward? What does that mean? That just means mean and nasty. Okay? Any of you work for that person? Okay? Don't name names now. I'm pointing fingers. He says, for this is thankworthy. If a person for conscience towards God endure grief, suffering wrongfully. For what glory is it when you're buffeted for your faults, you take it patiently. But if when you do well and suffer for it, you take it patiently, this is acceptable with God. For even hereunto were you called. Now we talk a lot about, I'm called to, oh yes, Lord. I'm called to inherit a blessing. Oh, glory to God. But here, notice this. We're called to live right, even if we suffer for it. We're called to do the right thing even if we suffer for it. Why? Because we've got a good God. I'll tell you, God is well able to take care of us. Now he says something, he goes on here and says something here. Because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps, who did no sin. Everyone say no sin. No sin. Neither was guile found in his mouth. Now he's our example, so what does that tell me? Then is it possible for the Christian to live free from sin? Absolutely. He's our example. He tells us right here it is possible. And he says there was no guile found in his mouth. In other words, what's that? No bitterness in his mouth. Why? Look at verse 23. Excuse me. Who when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Well, I'm just going to quit. They don't treat me right. That's what he's saying. But committed himself to him that judges righteously. Now, I wonder sometimes. I wrote this in my Bible. I didn't write it with your name. I wrote it to me. I said this. Don't let your mouth get you in trouble on the job. I'm trying to talk about the goodness of God, our Father here. But because he is good, we're to live a different way. Listen, folks, the way the world is doing life is not God's way. And so here he says some things there, talks about, he bore those things for us. And we need to return to the shepherd and bishop of our souls, he goes on to say there. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. I want you to turn to Mark chapter 14. Jesus here refers to the Father. You know, one of the things that I believe Jesus came to do was reveal the Father to us. In the Gospel of John itself, in my just counting and using the King James Concordance that's on the eSword, to the best that I could count, there's at least 125 times the word Father, just the word Father, and that's not fathers. So over 125 times that the Gospel of John refers to God as Father. And that's significant. Okay, God, the Word of God, there's no wasted words in there. Jesus said there's not one jot, not one scratch, you know, writing down, no crossing of the T, no dotting of an I, that's going to pass away till it's all fulfilled. But here in John 14, or Mark 14, I'm sorry, Mark, I got it right. Mark 14, look at verse 36. Now here we know Jesus is in the garden here. And he says, Abba, Father, all things are possible unto you. Take away this cup from me. Nevertheless, not what I will, but what you will. Now, he adds something here that is a descriptor kind of. It's interesting, you know, the word Abba means papa or dad, daddy more than it does father. But he adds that to that. And I've been around some people. Now, I don't think that we need to start, you know, necessarily getting, how can I want to say this? Some folks are too loose in their talking to God and talking about God, you know, everything, Daddy God and all this kind of, well, I found out with most of those people, there's an immaturity there yet, but well, God's a Father. He's going to grow us up. But you know, I don't know that we need to understand this idea of that God is not just Father. He is Dad. He's Daddy. He is Papa. Okay. Now my family, you know, it was Dad, but as my dad and I, as I got older, and I learned this from him, he and his brother called my grandfather Pop. And so a lot of times I'll refer to my dad, hey, Pop, how you doing? Okay? Now, see, that's in a casual, you know. I don't ever call him Father. In fact, if my children came into me and said, Father, something's wrong here, right? But there is that aspect of we need to never forget that our Father God is sitting at the highest place of authority in the universe. He is the all in all. Don't ever forget that. But Jesus here uses this and refers to him in a way that it's this. It's not just Father, but Abba refers to his knowability. That we are to be able to know him and have a vital relationship to him. So much so that, you know, when you refer to somebody, you know, as Pop, you know, I can pretty much tell you in any given situation what my dad's going to do or think about it. Why? I've spent time with him. I've watched him. I've listened to him. And I am, listen to me, I am of him. Amen. Well, we should know our Father that way. Yes. In any given situation, we should know what our Papa's going to do. Do you understand what I'm saying? Why I have him saying that? Now, it's used a couple. Paul uses the phrase, Romans chapter 8, a couple times here. Now, you know, didn't Pastor preach a great sermon this morning? How many of you are here this morning? That was an outstanding sermon on Father. That was just an outstanding sermon. Praise the Lord. You know, and when you preach on different days like this, sometimes you like, well, Lord, I don't want to, you know, but how many of you know we better obey God and not. And so this is what the Lord just kept dealing with me over the last, since I've had this schedule, this night schedule, the Lord just kept dealing with me about it. So I'm going to obey him. If you don't like it, you can talk to him, okay? How many can find Romans 8 verse 15? It says, for you have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Now, here again, that's interesting. Now, this is talking to someone who literally wasn't born into the family, has been adopted. He's talking, but think about that, adopted into the family, but has developed that relationship that this is just not someone who rescued me and sits aloof from me. And I know he's my father, but I don't ever get to go in his office. I don't ever get to go in his room. You know, I don't sit in his seat. I don't, you know, you understand what I'm saying? But I can actually come in and have learned to do what? Jump in his lap. And he's there. And I've learned to trust him. See, that's that phrase, Abba, Father, means, you know, no, we don't have very many little guys in here, but you know, a little kid will just, if their dad's out there, they'll just run and jump off that platform, won't they? Airborne, what do they expect? To be caught. Now, any of you run off there, I'm, you know. Now, I might be able to catch my daughter, but my son would flatten me now. He's just gotten too big. You know, he wants me to pop his back, and I can't even hardly get around him anymore, you know. And just, but this relationship. Now, I like here what the Message Bible says, verse 15. This resurrection life you've received from God is not timid, a timid, grave-tending life. Now, listen to that. God didn't give us life. Just hang on till you die. Make a good death of it. It's not, no. Now remember, the King James says, what's it say? You have not received the spirit of God, bondage again to fear. He said, this is not some timid, grave-tending life. Listen on as the message. It is adventurously expectant. Amen. Greeting God with a child like, what's next, Papa? Hallelujah. What's next? And see that relationship. Now, go to Galatians. Hallelujah. Galatians chapter 4. Now, he's talking here in context of this, how that the law was like someone who guided us as children. A child that's born into royalty is an heir of the throne, yet they can't rule yet because they have to grow up. And he said, that's how we were, but you know, the law came until Jesus would come, and right at the right time, Jesus died for us. And so we're joint heirs with him, but we're not born as a child. It means we have full rights and privileges now. And he says here in verse 6, Galatians 4, 6, and because you are sons, now that's the position. Doesn't matter if you're male or female, that's the position in Christ, right? Because earlier in chapter 3 it says, for in Christ Jesus there is no male or female, all right? So we're all the same in Christ. God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Now listen, just as Jesus used that term, he said he's given us that same right and that same cry in our hearts by his Spirit. By his Spirit. Let's go to John 14. We want to look at just a few more verses here. John 14. Concerning the fatherhood of God and how this brings out this aspect of the Holy Spirit. Now see, sometimes we try to compare, you know, our earthly father to our heavenly father, and just really there's not one of us that can match up. Right? Yet that's our goal. All of us want to be like God the Father. It doesn't matter if you're a father or not. I mean, that's just the idea, is to be like God, be like him. But he is so magnificent and so good to us. Here in John 14, 16, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it sees him not, neither knows him, but you know him, for he dwells with you and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Now the word comfortless there, I've got a little note in my Bible, and if you do some word study, you find out it means, he literally said, I will not leave you orphans. Yes, yes. I will come to you. Yes. See, when we're born again, we're not put in an orphanage somewhere spiritually. We have a Father. Amen. And we're told what? Come boldly to His throne. Come boldly, glory to God. Not arrogantly, but boldly. All right, look here in John 16, verse 23. And in that day, you shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you. Hitherto, up to this point, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you shall receive, that your joy may be full. But these things I've spoken unto you in Proverbs. But the time comes when I shall no more speak unto you in Proverbs, but I shall show you plainly of the Father. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you, because you've loved me, and I believe that I came out from him, from God. Now John 17. Verse 20. You know, some people, you get to dates like this, you get to Father's Day or Mother's Day or birthdays, you know, sometimes like that, and different holidays. And for some people, it's a time of celebration, but for others, it's not. It's a time that the devil uses against them. That maybe they didn't have a good father. Maybe they didn't have a good mother. Maybe they didn't know their father and mother. And the devil uses that against you. Listen, it doesn't matter if any of those things, whatever those things happened in your past, okay, you have a Father now. He is God. Amen? And He wants a relationship with you where you are, you call Him Daddy. You call Him Papa. In other words, that you are, you know Him. Glory to God. Now here in verse 20, Jesus is praying. He says, neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. That's all of us. That they all may be one, as you, Father, are in me and I am in you. That they may be one in us, that the world may believe that you have sent me. And the glory which you gave me, I've given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. I in them and you in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that you have sent me and has loved them as you have loved me. Wait a minute. Did he just say, God, I want them to know that you love them as you love me? He did, didn't he? Say it after me. God loves me just as he loves Jesus. There's no difference. Jesus prayed that I would know it. And I will. Now, whether you experience it right now, take it by faith. God loves you. You have a Father that loves you as much as he did, as he does, didn't. I won't say did because that implies Jesus is not alive. He's alive. As much as he loves the only perfect person that ever lived. I'm here to tell you tonight, I don't care what your flaws are. I don't care what your shortcomings are. I don't care how many times you've fallen down. I don't care where you've missed it in life. I don't care any of that stuff. I'm here to tell you tonight, you have a Father who loves you. You have a God who loves you. He says, Father, I will that they also whom you've given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which you've given me, for you loved me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, the world has not known you, but I have known you, and these have known that you sent me. And I have declared unto them your name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith you have loved me may be in them, and I in them. Glory to God. What does that tell me? God's not loving you from afar. He's loving you from the inside out. That love is in you right now. That great love that's beyond, it's beyond what you can think. It's beyond what you can comprehend. It's greater because he is love. It's so vast. I mean, it's just beyond all of that. There's nothing that can compare to it. And he loves you with that love from the inside out. Now, yes, He wants us to live a separated life. But that's how do we do it? From the inside out. Because when I know God loves me, that makes me fearless. When you know God loves you, what can you not accomplish for Him? And that's when you start saying, what's next, Papa? What's next, Papa? Some of you are, you know, you came here, and of course you're part of Rhema Bible Church, and you've come here over the years, and you've come here as part of the school, and that's great. But every one of us has to say, what's next, Papa? What's next? That doesn't mean moving necessarily, but what's next? Now, next implies a lot of things. Who's next to show love? Who's next to give to? Who's next, God? Who are you going to heal next? Who can I lay hands on next? Come on. You know, see what I'm saying? What can I do? What can we do next? Amen. And I heard like somebody said, you know, this is, we're in the kingdom. We're there and there's kingdom business. It's God and sons and daughters. He said, I will be a father unto you. You'll be my sons and my daughters. And the Holy Ghost comes on us. What does he say? Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Glory to God. Amen. We have a father. And he loves us. So listen. I don't know anybody's situation. And I'm not here to single that out. But I just want to say, I don't care what your earthly father was or did at this point. He doesn't match up to God no matter how good he was. But if he didn't, it was absentee and just wasn't right. Hey, let it go. Let it go. You have a father, God. You have a father. Amen. And he loves you perfectly. 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 And he wants you to come boldly and sit at his throne. And he wants to interact with you so that where you have that relationship with him. Not a disrespectful daddy. Not a disrespectful papa, but a love relationship. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Father, we thank you tonight. We give you glory. We give you praise. Hallelujah. You are our Father. We bless you, Lord. We honor you. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Every head bowed, every eye closed. If you're in here, maybe I did describe you tonight. Maybe, and I'm not going to ask you to come down here. I just want you by the lifting of your hand. I want to pray for you. You say, pray for me. Pray for me. Because there's some things I need to deal with concerning my earthly father. And I need to get over it. I just want to know to pray for you. I'm just looking around real quick. Raise your hand real quick so I can see it. See hands all over. Yes, okay? Yes. Father, you see these honest hands. Father, I pray right now. Jesus is anointed to heal the brokenhearted. Heal the broken heart right now. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Heal their broken heart. Heal their broken heart. Hallelujah. We'll not hold aught against anyone, Father. We thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. You make up for everything. Everything, everything. Hallelujah. And eternity itself will show your goodness and your love. So thankful, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen. 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 God's ministering to some people right now. Hallelujah. I don't know why I keep hearing this. I keep hearing this on the inside that some of you, you thought you had dealt with some things, but every time these days come along, there's a twinge there, and you have to put it down. Now, that's fine, but I just hear this by the Spirit of the Lord. You can live totally free from that, where the thought doesn't even come. It's not even there. You can live totally free from it. Just let me have it right now. Let me have it right now. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Father. Father, I just ask that your love, that we would grow in understanding and wisdom in your love. That we would be rooted and grounded in your love. That each one of us would be able to comprehend with all of your saints what is the breadth and length, the depth and height. That we might know the love of God, which passes all knowledge, but not your knowledge, not the knowledge of your spirit, not your revelation knowledge. We are to know it and experience that love. I pray for each one that's here and each one that will hear this message, that they would know your love, that they would know your love, Father. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I thank you, Father. Minister, Father. Thank you, Lord, for blessing us and loving us. Oh, Father. Father, you know our coming in and our going out. You know, Father. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, that you don't look at us like other people look. You look on our heart. You look at us. Thank you for continuing to work with us, to love us and to help us, to extend your grace to us. Father, in all things, we give you praise and honor and glory. Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 Have you got something, Dan? You sing there? Jesus.
And he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. Yeah, he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. Oh, how he loves. And he loves us. Oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he loves us. And oh, how he
sing that to yourselves. Say it to yourselves. Sing that, old children. Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Little ones to him belong. Well, so do big ones. Amen. Belong to him. Thank you, Father. Praise the Lord. Let's all stand up together, if you would, please. Connection team, if you find our first-time guests, find them. Take him to that special place. If you need prayer tonight, maybe you've never met Jesus. You've never met the one whom the Father sent to take care of the sin situation. That separated us from the Father. You need to come down here tonight. Men, talk to these men. Ladies, to these ladies. If you need prayer for anything else. Hallelujah. Well, let's continue to in your prayers this week, be lifting up. This is a big week here. A lot of this campus is going to be transformed. It's a big event. This is not our estimation, 50,000 people. That's what the city tells us is out here during these rockets over Rhema at time. And so let's be in prayer. And please. Everybody do their part. Just like a family, in the family, everybody has chores to do. Well, take one of these opportunities, do it for the family, do it for the Rhema Bible Church family, and look at it as this is my chore to help the family out, and then it'll all get done. No one will have to do it all right? And so we thank you for that, and then next service is Hour of Power on Wednesday night. Pastor Hagin will be here, praise the Lord, a great message as always, as he does on Wednesday night, great time, hallelujah. Now, I don't know if they're all here, but let's thank thank God for our music team. Give them a big hand clap tonight. They did a wonderful job. Hallelujah. Shake hands with two or three folks. Let them know you love them in the love of the Lord, with the love of the Lord, and you can be dismissed. Amen.